And I should say, the expectation of the Messiah who's going to come and fulfill things, right? Like, this is a thing that, like, a writer like Frank Kermode, who I think is actually very psychoanalytically relevant for us,
totally
has a bunch of essays, including A Sense of the Ending, but also his Genesis of Secrecy, which is a reading of the Gospels.
Yeah.
And specifically of,
I'll put it in the show notes. It's really good.
It's really, really good. And essentially what he argues is in the Mark Gospel, right, there's this thing called the messianic secret, i.e. Jesus keeps on performing.
Which is that Jesus is the Messiah.
Yeah, Jesus is the Messiah, right? And basically,
spoiler,
we all know that Jesus is the Messiah because we're Christians in this telling, right, or in this perspective. Everyone who's picking up the gospel knows that this Christ guy, that they know how it ends. There are spoilers, right? So then the question becomes, well, how do you both give them something to enjoy and also propel the narrative forward? And that produces the trick of Jesus constantly being like, yeah, I just raised this guy from the dead, but don't tell anybody.
Right.
Like, I just fulfilled this prophecy here, but don't let anyone else know. Right. And the point is that,
only
like,
you know,
against the backdrop of, you know, if for early Christians where Christ's crucifixion is a given, right, this gives a kind of narrative structure to the thing.
And narrative tension.
Yeah, narrative tension. And it also, like, gives you a kind of hiding and revealing.
Brief releases of, like, pleasure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, like, ask you a question being like, well, what's up with the characterization of Jesus seems insufficient. He seems like a kind of wooden guy. He only cries once and he barely curses, right? And you're like, okay, yeah, but that's not the point. The point is that he's the Messiah and the whole, and we're here not for the characterization of Jesus as a character. We're here for the story of the unfolding of his scriptural destiny. And okay, that's cool. And also, I guess the fucking Bible can get away with that, right? Because it's the Bible. I don't necessarily know if those are virtues in a film. Do you know what I mean? Like, I...
Yeah, sometimes we actually just call that, like, woodenness of characterization. And as I think we're going to get into more... One of the things that constitutes some of the richness of the original text, it is deeply overdetermined where Villeneuve seems determined to flatten out certain elements of it.
Maybe I'm the only person in the room that like unabashedly adored both of these movies. I've seen Dune 1 like 12 times. And I will see Dune 2 a few more times. I actually was moved to tears at a moment that was not supposed to be emotional. I just thought, like,
Dan,
the
there's
sequence
no
and composition.
Crying in Dune. You didn't get the
man.
Point.
I
there's
no wasted, crying. I wasted my
you're
water.
You're wasting water.
But to go back to your Gospels point, I think the way that you get away with it is kind of what they're doing here. The mystery of Mark, of the figure of Jesus, Mark's Jesus is not like appealing to people outside of Christianity. You know who Jesus is? John's.
John's.
So I think Denis is making the Gospel of John for Dune in these movies.
That's the worst gospel. So no wonder I really,
Well, and I mean, I think that's right because, you know, high Christology of John, the language is really beautiful. It's just like the Villeneuve movies, extremely beautiful.
Yeah.
You can fight me on this. A lot of really banal, terrible kind of sayings. That's also what's going on in John. So
I'm not going to argue with you.